Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm glad to see you guys here today. Well, we plan on leaving sometime close to 11 o'clock, so I'm going to keep my teaching short. It's a teaching I'm going to have to come back to and cover it again, but I'm going to briefly introduce it to you today. It isn't something that we are totally ignorant about. It's a subject that we have known about it for some time. I don't think that we have plumbed the depth of the truth or even the experience of this truth. So I feel the Holy Spirit led me to come back to this for a number of reasons. One of them is that the present situation in the world is extremely distracting. And I'm going to keep reminding you of this because we're in a battle for our attention. And whatever it is that grabs our attention, grabs our energy, grabs our thoughts, grabs our interests, grabs everything. And so we have to keep ourselves in a sane balance where we don't ignore what's going on in the world. That would be a mistake. But at the same time, do not let it dictate to us. And right now, there are forces that are so influencing the church that the church has lost its focus, and it's looking more and more like a political activist group, a third party, or an extension of one political party or the other. The problem with that is that, it takes the church away from what God wants it to do, but it also divides the church. We're not all on the same page, and that is a serious problem. The church should have one mind, one voice, one purpose, one goal. And we're far from that at the present time, but I don't think it's going to last. I believe eventually through necessity, through the influence of the Holy Spirit, we are going to come to more of a consensus of understanding and agreement of what God is after today. So, having laid down those few thoughts, let me read to you from John 17, beginning in verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, Jesus talking about the disciples, the apostles particularly, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, meaning those of us who have come to the Lord as a result of the apostles' teaching and preaching, which ultimately became translated into the Bible, are the result of what Jesus prayed for. He said, I pray not for the present people alone, the present apostles, but for those who will believe in me through them. That would be us. So this is about us. That they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. That's very interesting. There are two things that Jesus brings up here, not just two, but two of them that have to do with the world. In verse 21, he says that we may all be one in you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. That tells us something. It tells us that the world does not have a complete understanding of the reality that Jesus was sent by the Father, and that the reality of that truth is going to be revealed through the body of Christ. Without the revelation and the truth manifesting in us that we are one with one another and one with the Lord, the world will never know that the Lord, the Father, sent Jesus. Not completely. If they were to know without this truth, then this truth would not have been written. The second part of that is in verse 23, where Jesus says, again, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know, here again the world, that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. That's the second part of this. That the world will finally come to a realization that God the Father loves you and me just as much as he loved Jesus. No less, no more. It's impossible for him to love us more than he loves Jesus. But it's also impossible for him, the Father, to love us less than he loves Jesus. Let's get a hold of that. So what this is, this scripture here that God is drawing our attention back to is not just about oneness, which is absolutely essential. The church might say that we are one and talk about it as a wonderful concept, but in practice, we are light years away from it. So far away from practicing it, it's almost as if it was a hidden truth. It can't be recognized. We can say that we're one, but we don't really practice one. So that is one thing that the world is going to come to see. And as a result of that, the world's going to find out two other things. One, that it truly, that the Father truly did send Jesus and that Jesus is alive in us. That's the result of that belief. Not that he came just historically, but he came experientially, and he still dwells in the body of Christ, us. And the world will see it. They don't see it yet. And they don't see it because we don't function as one. Simple as that. It's kind of like a mathematical equation. One part follows the other. And finally, the other thing is that the world doesn't know that the Father loves us as much as he loves Jesus, the Son. That is yet to be revealed. If you think about these things, let's look at these. These are so profound. In a world where everything is divided, everything is in fractions, everything is in opposition, everyone is in contest, contrary, contradiction, contest, you name it. To see a oneness in some people where there's a total, I hate to use this word because sometimes it seems so foreign, but there is going to be an agreement as to who we are and how we behave. That will come. It has to come. So the witness of the oneness of the body of Christ to the world will be in itself an amazing reality. Can you imagine that? We will be the startling experience in the whole earth. How long is that going to take? That depends on us. There are things that God has built into his eternal plans that he gives us freedom to participate in at a pace that we're agreeable with. Isn't that amazing? He's willing to allow us to set the pace, although he is helping us. He's slightly pressuring us, gently pressuring us, leading us and guiding us towards this truth. All right, look at these. What's it going to be like when the body of Christ is one? When all of these little divisions, all these little names, all these little different expressions, and I am for different expressions, meaning this, in any given group or body of Christ, there are going to be certain emphases that show up in that body. Somebody might have an emphasis on evangelism, which is fine. Another body might have more of an emphasis on teaching and develop theological schools and things of that nature. Fine. Those things are certainly allowed. But within the context of our differences, there is a tremendous agreement that is yet to be experienced, where we believe, like it says in Ephesians 4, one God, one Father, one Lord Jesus, one baptism, one Holy Spirit, one body, one faith, where all of that becomes agreed upon by everybody, not just lip service, but true agreeableness, totally. And we won't have some people investments and robes and titles and all of the stuff that we see that floods the church today that makes it confusing for people. People outside of the Protestant realm do not know what to call our services. Do you know that? They have a hard time. What time is your Mass? We don't have a Mass. Can we come to a place ultimately where everybody has a meeting? You hear what I'm saying? I'm not downing what it is today. I'm telling you, this is what it is today. And it's going to have to change. It has to change. That's just one minor example. How we believe about certain basic faith expressions, is the Bible the inerrant word of God? As I've shared with you already, half the church almost doesn't believe that. So that's got to come to an end. There's got to be this unanimous agreeableness, or there will be a separation of those who truly believe and those who are not really believers at all. In which case, the true believers will be the manifested ones who reflect the oneness of the body of Christ. Are you with me there so far? Okay. So oneness. Not only one, but one in Christ. That we are in him and he is in us. There's an interpenetration between us and God where he not only fills us with his presence, but we fill up the body of Christ with our presence. Think on that the world is going to believe. They're going to see Jesus Christ in his church, his body. I would like to be alive when they see that. If I'm not, I'm going to work towards that end. If you're not, then you're going to have to work towards that end as well. It is the greatest goal. Here's what is happening. There is a shift from man-centered Christianity where everything seems to be on the blessing that God bestows upon his children. The emphasis on that. What is good for me? What's going to happen to me? What's God got in store for me? All of that focus is being shifted back onto Christ. The real gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not the gospel of Christians, but the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not the good news of what God does for us. It's what the good news means because Christ came as preeminent. And as we sang in that song, everything is of him, everything is by him, and everything is for him. In the dispensation of the fullness of times, Ephesians chapter 1, everything that has been created is going to be summed up, gathered up under Jesus Christ. Everything will have its completion, so to speak, in Christ. Everything will be summed up in him. Everything. Nothing will be left out. Because he is the head of the universe. He created it. He made it one under him. So, let's move on a little bit further. That we will be made perfect in one. Let's look at it this way. We are already one. We are being perfected as one. We will become perfect in one. There are stages that are taking place. There are some people, tons of people, teach Christianity that we will become one. There is nothing in the Bible that says we will become one. It only says that we have been made one. Only that we have been made one. Only that we have already been made one. And that our responsibility is not to make us one, but to maintain our oneness. Maintain it in the bond of peace. That's our requirement. So, we have been made one. We are being completed. We're in the process of it, but we're not there, so we will finally be perfected. That's Ephesians chapter 4. That's why that book is so prominent today, because The church is moving out of cathedral Christianity. It's moving away from liturgy. It's moving away from formality. It's moving away from structure. It's moving towards reality, towards a living organism, towards a one living body manifested throughout the entire world, here, there, and everywhere. So Jesus has to be the head of that body. So when Jesus prayed for this, let's ask ourselves this question. Did his prayer get answered? Or is it still waiting to be answered?
Waiting.
No. Be careful what you say. It has been answered. In the spirit, it already took place when we were baptized into one body. We have been baptized into one body already. We are one body already. There are no prayers that Jesus didn't get answered. They are in the process of being completed, meaning we're not perfect, but we will be made perfect. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. So what are we to do? If that is the case, we agree with God, and we work with him, and we should have this as a focus. This should be a main focus. Some people think that the main focus of the church is just to save the lost. Then what? This still has to come to pass. We have got to become perfected as one so that the world will see that Jesus was sent by the Father, number one. Number two, that he loves us as much as he loves Jesus. Hallelujah. I can't wait for that. All right. I am cutting down my teaching for today, so you have to forgive me while I take a look at my notes so I don't go too far along. All right. I guess I will conclude it this morning by saying this. This prayer has been answered initially when Jesus prayed to the Father for it. The Holy Spirit came back, flooded the church, filled the church, baptized the church into one body. The prayer was initially answered. It is being answered continually through our lives as we work together to build each other up and to perfect each other. The goal of a Christian ministry of our lives to the body of Christ is to make one another better. My job, your job is the same. That we improve the life of every believer so that every believer becomes more Christ-like until we all come to the unity of the faith, until we come to the stature of the measure of the fullness of Christ unto a mature or perfect man. At which time, there's going to be an amazing cataclysmic experience in the earth when the bride is manifested before Jesus Christ without spot or blemish or wrinkle. Glory to God for that day. In the meantime, we become part of the answer. Not only are we being perfected, but we're the agents that make perfection possible to one another. As we lay down our lives for one another, love one another, and do everything that God has granted us in gifts, in grace, in wisdom, knowledge, and love, to make each other better. And finally, the answer to that prayer will be the perfection of the body of Christ. So, it's going to take a little bit of work in the years ahead, decades ahead, perhaps, who knows, maybe even centuries, to bring the whole church to this understanding. But I believe because Scripture is written that it's going to take place, that nothing is going to keep it from happening. That of all the activity that's going on in this world where man thinks he's on top of things, where mankind believe that everything is under their control and that the history of the world is going to be written by men, they're mistaken. They're only writing a tiny part of it. The ultimate picture of history is being written by God himself through the body of Christ. Amen to that. And we are part of that future. History is going to be made through us. And we are going to manifest Christ to the world. Father God, this is a bigger message than any of us have ever understood before. The depth of the reality of this is beyond what we initially understand. Only by the Holy Spirit will we thoroughly and fully come to a realization of the great divine project that you are fulfilling here in the earth. That we become one as you and the Son are one. That we become perfected in love. That we become perfected as one. That the world will know that Jesus was sent because they will see him in us. And that the world will know what love is from God as they see that he loves us as much as he loves Jesus. These are true truths that will come to pass. We pray, God, that we'll do our part in bringing them to pass. However much we move the needle, the future of the church, however much we help bring perfection to it, completion, maturity, which is what that word means, how much we all help each other, how much we love each other, how much we let you work in us and through us. All these are great factors that we can participate with you in bringing about your eternal plans. We ask for your help. We're grateful that we're part of this, and we want to give you all the glory for it. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. So, look at that. We've still got 10 minutes to greet each other. Amen. Glad to share with you today. I don't know if it started to snow yet or not, but you peek outside and take a look, and you're free to leave whenever you feel comfortable to. Okay? God bless you guys.